This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Great to have you here. Hey, we're heading into Memorial Day weekend, and even though it's 60 and cloudy right now, it's going to get nicer. Getting down to a low 53 tonight, but tomorrow we're getting to 72 as a high, partly sunny. High low 57, and Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 78. In fact, we're going to be hitting the 70s throughout the weekend. There is some rain expected, but it will be warmer. We now know that President Trump, his proposal is to reduce the EPA budget by 31% and completely eliminate funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, which would save $300 million. Let's get reaction from John O'Grady. He's the president of the American Federation of Government Employees National Council of EPA, Local 238, representing over 9,000 unionized employees at the EPA. John, it is great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you having us on the show.
Yeah, how are the workers of the EPA feeling right now?
Well, the morale is so low that you need a ladder to get out of the gutter, and I'm not talking about the gutter on your roof. Talking about the gutter in the street. It's pretty bad.
Okay. In terms of job cuts, do you have any idea how many jobs we're going to lose here?
Well, it's going to be, I would guess, between 3,000 and 4,000 jobs just at EPA nationwide. However, what people aren't recognizing is that despite the claims that this administration is going to move more of the environmental protection to the states, they are also cutting the state grants. So if they go through with this, if Congress approves this, then Michigan itself could be looking at job losses perhaps as high as 200 just within the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay. Those that view the EPA as a regulatory agency that really in many ways stifles business, stifles job growth, what do you say to them?
That's a lot of baloney. You know, if EPA was a job-killing agency, the economy would have ground to a halt in 1970. When it was formed by the Republicans, by the way. However, the fact is, US EPA, as a result of its work, has not only cleaned our air and water and our land, but also we have created a tremendous environmental market that companies in the US market across the world, our pollution technology, control technology, engineering expertise. So any cut to US EPA is not only going to cut the states, but it's also going to have a severe impact on the industry itself within the United States.
I mean, is it possible? I mean, do you think there is some waste in the EPA where some cutbacks could be made there?
That's really a dream because we've already been cut. We've gone from 18,100 employees in 1999, and we're below 15,000. We don't have enough people right now to do the job and protect human health and the environment for the American people. In addition, our budget, people hear $8.2 billion, and they think, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. That represents 0.2% of the nation's budget, 0.2%. Mm-hmm. And it has been flat for about 10 years, and they're talking about cutting that down to about $5.7
billion. What do you think is behind this decision to pursue these cuts at the EPA then?
It's certainly not concern for children with asthma. It's certainly not concern for the most vulnerable in our society. For example, women of childbearing age, the elderly, people with respiratory illnesses.
Okay. Then what is it really then? What do you think is driving
it? It sounds like a get out of jail card for polluters is what it sounds to me.
Why do you say that? I mean, does it change the laws in any particular way?
Well, they're going to change the laws, but here's the thing. If the Trump administration cuts the US EPA Office of Research and Development, that's the arm that actually does the research that develops standards, then our standards development is behind schedule. If we don't have standards, what do you regulate against? Second point is if you cut the US EPA workforce and cut our travel dollars, then we'll have fewer inspectors going into the field to take samples. And if you don't have any samples, you have no data. If you have no data, you have no enforcement. therefore you have no EPA.
I mean, if you're a business owner and you see an EPA inspector knocking on your door, are you going to be happy about that?
Well, you know, 90%, 99% of companies and corporations want to comply with the regulations because they're moms and dads, and they have children, and they have grandchildren, and they want to be sure that they're breathing clean air, drinking clean water, and that their children are playing on clean soil. They're not playing on a Superfund site.
Okay.
Is
that without this many? I mean, if we see cuts in EPA, does that necessarily mean we're going to see this sudden burst of pollution?
Not necessarily, but here's something to think about. Flint, Michigan has gone through a horrible situation. They took water out of their taps. It looked clean, but it was contaminated with lead.
Mm-hmm.
9,000 children between the ages of 1 and 6 were exposed to extremely high levels of lead, which has permanent health
effects. Yeah, but wasn't the EPA criticized for not being more proactive in that case specifically?
And I agree, EPA management had some responsibility for that. However, overall, if you consider there are 5,300 drinking water facilities across the country that are at or near failure, very much like Flint, we have a huge problem on our hands. So mm-hmm. we may not see something in 3 months or maybe even 6 months, but it's those parts per billion and parts per trillion that will affect our lives, affect our health, and cause higher rates of cancer.
John O'Grady with us, president of the American Federation of Government Employees, National Council of EPA Locals 238. Over 9,000 members, right?
Yes, sir.
That's quite a big union. And what do you think will happen with this proposal? How far do you think it'll get?
I am hoping that based on the support we have seen from both Democrats and Republicans throughout the state of Michigan and throughout the Great Lakes area, that programs like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative will be preserved. I would say the same about the Puget Sound initiatives and the Chesapeake Bay initiatives. I am hoping that some common sense prevails, and I'm hoping more than that. I'm hoping that our legislators in Washington, D.C. realize that they are there not to promote the interest of polluters, but they are there to promote the common good of the American people, which includes our right to have clean air, clean water, and clean land.
Now, do you think there are businesses out there that aren't polluting necessarily or doing anything illegal, but do find the EPA to be burdensome?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, what has happened in many cases because of U.S. EPA regulations, and again, we have to remember that we implement regulations that Congress has authorized. They've authorized certain laws like the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, and so on. So we implement these regulations. We give industry time to comply. And in many cases, with respect to water quality standards and discharges into streams or rivers, mm-hmm. Industry has engineered a solution that is just fabulous. It's a closed-loop recirculation system, or if they have air pollution, they have reduction systems, and they've actually recaptured raw material and have been able to make their process more efficient. So really, it's all in the way you look at it. If you look at it,
and you believe the EPA is basically the driver of these kinds of innovations?
Yes, regulations do drive the economy, and they drive them in a positive direction.
Yeah. I'm curious, even without the cuts, what's ahead for the EPA under the Trump administration, in your view?
4 years of pain and suffering and fighting back, and we will do that because the people at the U.S. EPA are dedicated civil servants. We have taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, and we take our job of protecting human health and the environment very, very seriously.
When you say fighting, what are you fighting back against? What's happening in the EPA right now?
A lot of bad media that's out there in terms of, EPA is a job-killing agency. These are really slogans that have been captured by the polluters who want less regulation. Remember, they don't own the air. They don't own the water. All of us do. What EPA does is allow as minimal amount of pollution into those media systems, water or air, that the system can still sustain life.
Okay. And so even without the job cuts, can the administration, without the funding cuts, can the administration move ahead, though, and reduce the workforce at the EPA?
They might be able to. It all depends on how budget bill is passed and what kind of riders are in it. In the continuing resolution, there was a rider in there that the U.S. EPA could not use more than $1 million to do any reorganization or restructuring, and that would prevent them from closing any regional offices. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that, again, common sense prevails. We're hoping that American citizens who value the air they breathe and the water they drink will write and email and phone and visit their congressional reps and U.S. senators and say, look, this is a small budget, this is a small agency, but the importance is of prime consideration for us. Mm-hmm. We want our children and our grandchildren to live safely.
Now, one last thing, John, because you say that the goal essentially is to allow polluters to pollute freely, more freely perhaps, but who are we talking about? What kinds of industries are you pointing the finger at?
I don't know if I can point the finger at any particular industry, but I can give you a little clue. The Trump budget is perhaps 90% similar to what the Heritage Foundation has put out there. And the Heritage Foundation is funded by a lot of laissez-faire economists. Capitalism is a wonderful system, but capitalism without any regulation defaults into greed. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to live in a society that greed triumphs over
profit.
Yeah,
but their argument is they feel regulation is okay in a limited fashion. They feel that we've gotten to the point where we're over-regulating things.
Well, yeah, and the people that are saying that are also the people that deny climate science that has been verified by 97% of the scientists throughout the world and is recognized by every country in the world except now the United States and Mr. Scott Pruitt and Mr. Trump. These are the people that are saying that. So should we listen to them?
Well, it sounds like you're in a battle state right now. Is that fair to say?
We are here to defend our work at US EPA to make sure that Americans have clean air, clean water, clean land. They might get rid of us. They might, fire some of us. They might lay some of us off. But I can guarantee you, if you look at retired EPA employees, they come out to our rallies. They come out because they're still concerned about clean air, clean water, and clean land. And it's just in our blood. We're doing this for the very best of reasons. And anybody who thinks that an agency that is just 0.2% of the overall budget of the United States is somehow impacting the economy, well, I think they need to go back to school. That argument is just nonsensical.
Well, there it is. John O'Grady, president of the American Federation of Government Employees, National Council of EPA Locals 238, representing over 9,000 unionized employees at the US EPA. John, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you, Mike. Yep. Appreciate it very much.
I do, too.